Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Thank you for coming back to my channel. I'm addressing this vexed issue of the burqa ban. In case you don't know, that's a face covering. There's a niqab, various names for it from different parts of the Muslim world. And that's another point. It's almost exclusively Muslim women who wear them. It's only a tiny minority of Muslim women in the United Kingdom who wear them. And indeed, around the world, there are very, very few countries where it's the norm. Only I think in Afghanistan is the norm for women to actually do that. Even in Pakistan, only in some remote areas do women do that. And I remember traveling in rural Pakistan a quarter of a century ago and thinking, how does this town live from one generation to the next? 9 out of 10 people on the street are men. And that's because women rarely go out. It's horrendous and it's just so oppressive. Not even be able to show your face. That is who you are. That is your individuality. So much of expression is nonverbal, is facial. What a deprivation for everybody. And there was even a woman teaching in the United Kingdom who would put it on if any man came into the room, but she would have it off when the children were there, because of course that's part of their learning. They learn from the way she's looking at them. They even learn from seeing how she speaks, the movement of the mouth and lips teaches you to speak and so forth. What if there's a child with hearing impairment? That would be important. The hearing aid doesn't do it all. But coming back to the burqa ban, it was Sarah Poach, do I pronounce her name correctly, just was elected to Parliament for Reform United Kingdom. Let's put it in there. So, I mean, I remember speaking to a young Muslim student a couple of years ago, and he was saying, no, this is anti-Islamic. And okay, it simply says face covering bans in France, but we know that's overwhelmingly against one ethno-religious group. So, I mean, there I disagreed with him. Now, it's outlawed in numerous Muslim countries, including Turkey, run by a government that a lot of people say is Islamist. Okay, I was in Azerbaijan, where it'd be a crime to do so. Azerbaijan, which is 90% Muslim. And in Azerbaijan, schoolgirls are not allowed to wear hijabs in school. They can wear them outside school, but they're not. No exceptions. It's extraordinary the United Kingdom would be called Islamophobic, which is more accommodating of this than some 90% Muslim countries and so forth. So the United Kingdom and no part thereof has a ban to it. Okay, in the United Kingdom, we have the right to the raiment that they choose, and that's the way I'd like to keep it. Now, courts can forbid it. Schools can have it as part of their uniform policy. Some organizations you work for can say it's not permitted and so forth. Boris Johnson, before he became prime minister, he published an article saying they look like letterboxes and it ought to be forbidden. But nothing followed in that. So some women said they were verbally abused because of what he said. Others who say it didn't go far enough. I mean, I dislike it. I find it distasteful. It's dressing up like a public executioner. It's antisocial. But I don't question someone's right to wear it. So people have to wear it as they want. And if it comes to the top free movement, if women want to be topless in public, I have no objection. If men are allowed to be topless in that place, women should be as well. They might be breastfeeding. They not might not. You do what you want. If other people dislike it, tough, get over it. If they're offended, grow up, okay? In this world, there'll be people whose behavior, whose dress sense, whose words you find disagreeable, and you have to deal with it. I want a free society. I don't want us to be policed to the nth degree. I dislike control freakery. Even though I disapprove of the burqa, I do not think it ought to be outlawed. Now, there are emergency situations at the moment that police are allowed to remove face coverings, such as balaclavas, when there's when there's public disorder, when there's riots and things like that. And so I would keep that. So why are some people against it? Some people say it oppresses women or whatever, or it's causing disharmonious relations between communities. I mean, if a woman chooses to, then that's fine. If she's coerced into it, that's different. But coercion's always illegal. People say, oh, it's an extremist thing and this is ill-defined thing. It obviously has got connotations of like a Sharia state. And I know there are gradations of Sharia state from, you know, maybe Morocco at one end to the Taliban at the other. And we say, we just don't even begin down that road. Say that it's retrograde, it's medieval, is actually not required in Islam. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, apparently said the best veil is behind the eyes, as in, I don't know, not to be lustful or something. And I got that from reading Daughter of the East, which is the autobiography of Benazir Bhutto, the first woman, so far the only woman, to be Prime Minister of Pakistan. I read that in 1999. Remember to this day, it stayed with me. Okay, that it's against secularism. Well, I mean, I'm a secularist. I mean, I don't really mind that something as harmless as the Church of England's got status in South Britain, Republic of Ireland, we've got no state religion. So some people say it's bad for security. And there was the Sun had a journalist go undercover, and she wore a face covering, was able to go through passport control without being asked to show her face. It could have been somebody else under that veil. So we're not talking about the hijab, which is just covering the hair or most of the head, because there's always the question definition. I think from basically where the eyebrows are, so even if you don't have eyebrows, to the bottom lip. So as long as you can see this bit, I think we can say we can see the person's face. That's the bit that's really distinctive. And so it goes on. So they say it undermines social cohesion. We have to have this, say it's a deprivation of a woman's rights, that it's oppressive in itself, and so forth, that she must be forced into it. Some people say that it's antithetical to Britannic values. It's against openness because she is so closed. It's inegalitarian because men don't have to support them. So why not? That's why in 2010, France did this. They get a fine of a few hundred euros. And really, it hasn't caused friction. Very, very few women are caught in breach of it. Okay. So was there a need anyway? We said, well, even if it saves even one woman, that's a good thing. If they hadn't done it, it might have mushroomed, more and more start wearing it. Then that becomes the default setting. But it's anyway, it's taking away people's liberty, religious and otherwise, to dress how you want. Remember, the Human Rights Act 1998 incorporates the European Convention of Human Rights. And Article 9 of that says there's freedom of religion. Remember, though, that France is signed up to this, has as part of the domestic law, has had it long ago. France is a monist country. Its international law is the same as its domestic law. If it signs a treaty, that's part of their domestic law automatically. And it's not found to be incompatible with the European Convention of Human Rights in France. Some would say, yeah, it discriminates against one religious community, is Islamophobic. I can't see how it boomerang, though. It will alienate Muslims. So, I mean, I'm for people making their own decisions. I think the state should butt out and leave us our private sphere. So if some women say this is empowerment for me, you go ahead. And I heard a woman defending this sort of thing saying, well, says, don't treat me like a pinup. And, you know, I'm not to be lusted over. I can go around. I'm so much more than that. Okay. So a democratic society should not be so pharisaical, should not be enforcing ideologies. I dislike the imposition of official ideologies and policing clothing. That's bad news. Is this really practical? Wouldn't it impair relations between the police and certain segments of the Muslim community, lead to more harassment and more profiling? Public opinion. Well, majority of people in the United Kingdom want it, but that's not to say that the issue should happen just because the majority want it, and might be that just the majority take away the minority's rights. So the mainstream parties, the Liberal Democrats, the Conservative Unionist Party and Labour, none of them have actually gone for that. And this is an idea which started out with the UK Independence Party or even detestable groups like Britain First. So, already in security context, it can be forcibly removed. Have to show your face in the airport, even if it's a man who's the passport officer or whatever. So in educational settings, usually it's not allowed. Goodness. So what do you think? Should it be outlawed? If so, why? Wouldn't it be a waste of police time? You have to pay a fine if you breach it. I refuse to pay a fine. I will ultimately go to jail. And okay, they can garnish your accounts and things. Right. So thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Then PayPal, George Callan, 7 on gmail.com, and stand up for freedom. Goodbye.